ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today on the disappearance day, disappearance anniversary of His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'm going to read some quotes from that representative of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who really established his mission in the Western world and throughout the world. The mission, it's the same mission of all the previous acharyas. It's the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is that mission? Priti vite ache jato nagara digram sabatra prachar huibe morana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in as many towns and villages as there are in the world, in that many places, my name will be propagated. And in pursuance of this desire, Nityananda Prabhu, who made a similar prediction, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just setting out from Puri on his tour to South India, there was, for some distance, some devotees in Puri, including Nityananda Prabhu, accompanied him. So going in one village, and there was dancing and chanting in one village, and Nityananda Prabhu predicted that in future such dancing and chanting like this will go on all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retired early from the direct preaching field, but he deputed his non-different brother, Nityananda, to continue the preaching, especially in Bengal. And in pursuance of that order, Nityananda Prabhu established the Naam Hatha. This is elaborated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but even prior to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we find in the writings of previous Gaudiya Acharyas how Nityananda Prabhu had established the Naam Hatha. Hatha, or Hat, is a Bengali word which means an open, informal marketplace, village marketplace, where people come and they sell things and buy things. So the holy name, Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborated on this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborated on this analogy of the marketplace in which if you want to purchase the holy name, how much do you have to pay? How many rupees? No rupees. The price is faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he designated himself, he saw his service in the Naam Hatha as a sweeper, jharudar. He sweeps up the, there'll be so many people throwing so much garbage. So you might think, well, in the place of the pure holy name, how can that be? But there are misinterpretations, malinterpretations of the holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very concerned to establish the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he specifically instructed Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati that you preach the pure chanting of the holy names as distinguished from the jumbled up understanding. So this requires then not only chanting but proper understanding, for which instruction is required. And therefore Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, He sometimes referred to the different branches of the Gaudiya Math as the Vanihata. That is a place of instruction. And Vani means, among other things, means instruction. And the festivals at the Gaudiya Math, when I say the Gaudiya Math, it specifically refers to the institution that was at a specific place founded in Calcutta, first at Ultradanga Road, and then that later that was location shifted to Bagh Bazar. So it specifically referred to that, and referred to all the branches of the Gaudiya Math, which gradually spread throughout India, mostly throughout India, outside India also. But it also refers to the whole institution, the ethos, the purpose. So the festivals at the Gaudiya Math, one of the main functions of the festivals was speaking with different, especially the sannyasis of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He used to call them the Jivit Mridanga, the living mridangas. The mridanga is used for making a sound in kirtan. So the sannyasis would make a sound, they were living beings, would make a sound, reverberating the teachings that they had heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So the instructions are very essential also. Otherwise we may chant the holy names, but due to lack of understanding, then we will make offenses while chanting. We see the 10 offenses against the holy name. They're mostly concerned with proper understanding of devotional service. For instance, we shouldn't think that chanting the name of Krishna and chanting the name of a demigod is all the same. Or chanting Hare Krishna and performing pious activities like giving in charity. Giving in charity means giving in charity to brahmanas especially, qualified brahmanas. It doesn't mean opening hospitals and schools to teach people, to teach children how to waste their lives studying materialistic subjects. So, his instructions. We know a guru by his behavior and his instructions. Achinoti yashastrani achare sthapyatyapi swayam acharate yasmad acharyas tena kirtidaha. An acharya is one who acts according to the shastra, establishes the teachings of he teaches according to shastra, he acts according to shastra, and by his actions he establishes what is the proper understanding of shastra. That is the meaning of the word acharya. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, of course, an acharya in the very fullest sense of the term. And so, of course, was our own, the manifestation of Krishna's divine grace, who very kindly ministered to us, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just as I was saying yesterday, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was completely composed of Bhakti Vinod. So in the same way, our own spiritual master, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was fully composed of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And several devotees who were kind enough to read those volumes of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav that I had the service to compose, the teachings and the activities of His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Several said to me as if in surprise that, oh, now I understand better how Prabhupada, he actually followed, how closely he followed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I was somewhat surprised to hear that, because what else do you expect? It wasn't that he was teaching something different or How could it be? Otherwise, where would the potency come? Srila Prabhupada often said that what I'm doing, it's simply my Guru Maharaj's blessings. Simply I'm an instrument. Maybe they thought because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, maybe those devotees who said that thought because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings were couched in such erudite language. I don't know what they were thinking, but definitely it's the same thing. Yeah, it's the mode of presentation is somewhat different, no doubt. But it's the same message. And our own Srila Prabhupada, he often used to directly quote his own guru. He often used to say, my Guru Maharaj used to say, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say. There are many such... And there are also many things which Srila Prabhupada said, which he actually picked them up from his own Guru Maharaj, which he didn't directly say. It's just like we don't, when we're talking to someone, we say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't say it every line, I learned that from my Guru Maharaj. It's understood. It's understood when one is speaking, that when a sadhu is speaking, it's supposed to be that he's speaking what he has learned from his guru, not that he makes something up. That is the principle of speaking in spiritual circles. Should speak what he has learned and not make something up. What language? Are they speaking in Tamil? Can you hear? They are always, yeah. You speak in Tamil? They sound more like you'd expect North Indian people to speak so loud. Tamil, South Indian people are usually quiet, aren't they? Anyway, what can we do? So anyway, I'm going to read a few of the quotes that Srila Prabhupada... of the quotes that Srila Prabhupada directly quoted from his own guru. But there are many others also that Prabhupada said. That there are many also that Srila Prabhupada said, but he didn't exactly say that they're coming from his own guru. Once, one of the Srila Prabhupada's disciples, after Srila Prabhupada had quoted a Bengali saying, one of the disciples complimented Srila Prabhupada that, oh, you know so many Bengali sayings, and Prabhupada said, yeah, I learned them all from my guru. One, I'll just say that Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who was Srila Prabhupada's personal servant for quite some time, he noted in his delightful book of remembrances called What is the Difficulty? He noted that one anecdote in which Srila Prabhupada's Sanskrit secretary, Shruti Kirti Prabhu didn't say the name, it was either Pradyumna or Nitai, because those were the two Sanskrit assistants who traveled with Srila Prabhupada at different times. So Srila Prabhupada was having his massage, that was Shruti Kirti Prabhu would be giving the massage, and the Sanskrit assistant came, offered obeisance, and then asked Srila Prabhupada some question about what he was working on just then, and went out. Then again, after a few minutes, he came back, offered obeisance, asked another question, went out. This happened several times, and gradually his obeisances became less and less pronounced until he was just coming in and just boom, putting his head on the ground and getting up very quickly and immediately asking a question. And at this point, Srila Prabhupada said, what is this hatchet obeisances? And Shruti Kirti said he never really understood what that means, but he thinks it's like a hatchet. You go boom, you get a hatchet, an axe, and you go, you cut and then pull it up. So this saying actually came from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He used to say that also. He didn't like this hatchet obeisances. If you're going to offer obeisance, then do it properly. Not just perfunctorily put the head to the ground and get up again. It's better than nothing, I suppose. But that was one instance that I recognized from reading that in Shruti Kirti Prabhu's works and then reading Bhaktisiddhanta Sar Thakur's writings and writings about him in Bengali. So, all right, I'm going to quote then some sayings of Bhaktisiddhanta Sar Thakur that Srila Prabhupada quoted, and I'm not trying to put them in any philosophical order. It's more just the way it appears in the Veda base. That's all the ones we were able to unearth. Although I have moved some of them a little bit around so that they can, those that are somewhat related to each other, they can be put together. So this is from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 12, 33. Verse number 33. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back to home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission propagating Krishna consciousness to be successful. If I could have one person back to Godhead, he would think his mission successful. So Srila Prabhupada, he said the same thing. Now, what do we understand from this? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, with unprecedented effort in preaching and organization, made a very dynamic and powerful preaching movement with many thousands of followers, very well known, some very erudite and expert speakers and writers, and it seemed they were all by his mercy on the path back to Godhead. But he said, if even one I can deliver. So it gives the sense that delivering, we shouldn't take it in the sense that, well, hardly any of them went back to Godhead. We shouldn't take it like that. We should understand that by the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all of his disciples were delivered back to Godhead. He's a powerful acharya. He's not some ordinary person. Brahmanda tarite shakti dhare jane jane. All the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have the power to deliver the whole universe back to Godhead. So what to speak of those who actually came to the lotus feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And on his order, actively preaching Krishna consciousness and chanting the holy names, studying Shastra. Now, it is true that also our own Srila Prabhupada said about some of the members of the Gauriya Math, he said they deviated from our Guru Maharaj's order, and because they weren't very active in preaching, in delivering the conditioned soul. That's true that Srila Prabhupada said that. That's one perspective. From another perspective, I mean, that's Srila Prabhupada's perspective, and we can't deny it. That's his perspective, whipping us to be active in Krishna's service and preaching Krishna consciousness. Don't be dull. Srila Prabhupada would quote his own Guru Maharaj, pranache ta she hetu pracha. Those who are the servants of the Vrajavasis, the actual intimate associates of Krishna, they have life, and therefore they preach. So, well, from another perspective, these devotees were engaged all their life in Krishna's service, and they worshipped Krishna through the parampara, through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. at the very least we can say, and many of them were actually preaching in various ways. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the point he's making that it's not so easy to deliver others back to Godhead. Another thing that Srila Prabhupada used to quote, which was repeating what his own guru had said, is that to bring one person to Krishna consciousness, we have to spend gallons of blood. In other words, it's a lot of effort to bring people to Krishna consciousness, to change someone's consciousness from that of being an enjoyer of this world or of being a renouncer of this world, and bring someone's motive in life to be simply to serve Krishna. So to be an enjoyer of this world, that's not serving Krishna. To be a renouncer of this world is also not serving Krishna. But to live in this world for the sake of serving Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission of propagating Krishna consciousness to be successful. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada also quoted his guru as saying, if by selling all these temples I could turn one man to Krishna consciousness, my mission would be successful. So there he's, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is making the point that the temples in and of themselves, the buildings of the temples, that's not what's important. It's the life of what goes on. The temples are meant for worshipping Krishna. So if the temples are used, another saying of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that making a joint mess, that the temple is a transcendental fraud, Srila Prabhupada said, that you collect money in the name of serving Krishna, and then you cook and you offer it to Krishna and you eat. And what do? You sleep, and then you get up, do a little bhajan, and then go collect some more money and this and that. So there's not much activity beyond collecting money, cooking, eating, and sleeping. So in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada pushed their disciples. Srila Prabhupada also used to say that my Guru Maharaj is pushing me, I am pushing you, Prabhupada said to his disciples, and you should push others. So in this way it's a pushing movement, pushing everyone to Krishna. So there's, it's somewhat extreme, may seem like extreme statements. I sell all the temples. Well, of course, it's not by selling the temples that you can necessarily turn anyone to Krishna consciousness, but the point is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was trying to inculcate in his disciples the idea that don't be enamored by the buildings for the building's sake. Understand what the purpose of the buildings is to change people's consciousness away from matter and toward Krishna, toward service of Krishna. In this regard, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is often quoted as saying, I have come to this world not as a mason or a contractor for building buildings, but as a peon of Rupa and Raghunath. So this we should always bear in mind. To build temples is good. To build temples for Krishna is good. No doubt. But the purpose has to be kept in mind, that it is for Krishna and not a transcendental fraud, that you build a building, people come. This is another of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saying that Srila Prabhupada used to quote, you build a temple and then people come and they offer donations and you live very comfortably on the donation. So no, that's not... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say in this regard that, and again Srila Prabhupada used to quote him, that better than showing the deity to make an income is to sweep the road and get payment for that. And that's a typical Bhaktisthan Saraswati saying, in as much as it's so sensational, because Brahmana, one who worships the deity, is considered very high class and pure, whereas someone who sweeps the road, that's very low in the Indian caste system. That's very low. They're not even caste, are they? They're not even in the caste. They're below, isn't it? They're not lower than Shudra, right? They're not even part of the... They're not one of the Chaturvarna. They're lower. The very lowest... Well, getting... I mean, there are lower also, people who carry dead bodies. But that's pretty low to sweep the road. But Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur said it's better to make an honest living by sweeping the road than simply to show the deity and looking very pure, giving charanamrit, taking money, and it's known in any temple, and unless there's a checking system, some way to avoid it, then any donations, cash donation, mostly people give cash donation. If it goes on the plate, it goes to the pujari. It doesn't go to the deity service. That's why they always have in the temples, put the money in the box. Actually, I prefer to give it to the pujaris, because if it goes to the box, then the government's thieved, they've stolen all the temples. They take all the money. So I'd rather give it to the pujari than give it to the government, who'll use it for opening fish farms or whatever. In Andhra Pradesh, that was so much of Tirupati Balaji's money went for the Chandrababu Naidu's scheme to turn all the rice fields of East Godavari and that area, West Godavari, Krishna, those districts, into fish farms. His great contribution to the cultural life of Andhra Pradesh. So anyway, the point that don't use the deity as a mean of income. And in this regard, he would also say, what is that? Shalagram Dara Badambanga. Using the Shalagram Shila to break nuts. Badam in Bengali means, in Hindi it means almonds, and in Bengali it means... Yeah, it can mean almonds also, any kind of nut. Usually, when I was in Bengal, you didn't see almonds. When I was in Bangladesh, people couldn't afford. So badam came to be known as the peanut. That was the only nut they could afford. So the idea is that using that stone to break peanuts or any nut. So that's a great sacrilege. But Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur compared that to the misuse of religion for personal pecuniary motives. Then about one disciple becoming fully Krishna conscious, quoting again from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12 is from verse 43, but the commentary, the purport by Srila Prabhupada, he says that Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur used to say that every one of his disciples could attain Vaikuntha Loka in this life without waiting for another life to execute devotional service. So he often used to say that you go back home, back to Godhead in this very life. Even that very term, back to Godhead, an English phrase, that was back home, back to Godhead. That Srila Prabhupada, he learned from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So do it now. Don't waste time. Shavarna Ketana, Karavano Kana, Ashata Pachala Chari. Kahe Premananda, Manusha Janama Shafala Karana Bari. This is, it's not that Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur invented it. I'm just quoted from a Bengali poem, Kirtan, in which the author Premananda says that just spend all your time hearing and chanting about Krishna and give up all useless talks. Having attained this human form of life, make it successful immediately. Turnam. The Bhaktisthana Sahasrara Thakur used to quote this verse again and again and again. Ladva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manusham artatam anityam apihadhira turnam yate dhanapatadanam rajayava nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. Having attained this human form of life, which is very rare, it's attained only after many, many births, one should consider that, although it doesn't last very long, it's very valuable, because in this life we can get free from birth and death, therefore we should do whatever is required to do in this short lifespan so that we don't get born again. Turnam. Turnam means do it quick. Don't waste any time. Immediately. Make that endeavor which is required before we die. I died again. You ever heard anyone say that? You don't hear me. I died again. I'm going to die again soon. What does that mean? You don't die again. You do, but we do. We die again and again and again. So before we die again, instead of wasting our life in sense gratification, which is available in every species of life, we should quickly do whatever is required and get back home, back to Godhead in this very life. So he would again push them to work hard for Krishna and push them to, in sadhana, bhajare, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisthana Sahasrara Thakur used to quote, bhajare, bhajare, amar mon ati manda, bhaja, braja, bane, radha, Krishna, charanaravinda, bhajan, bina, gati, nai, re. Just bhajare, bhajare, just go on, just worship Krishna. Worship Radha and Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. Worship their lotus feet. The mind is very bad. What's the cure? Worship Krishna. So do it. Don't waste time. Then we may think, well, amar man ati manda. My mind is very bad. Well, Bhaktisthana Sahasrara Thakur had a cure for that also. This is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6, Text 4. Srila Bhaktisthana Sahasrara Thakur used to say that in the morning, our first business, what's the first thing you do when you get up? He used to say that our first business should be to beat the mind with shoes 100 times, and before going to bed, to beat the mind 100 times with a broomstick. In this way, one's mind can be kept under control. Exactly what does this mean? How can you beat your mind with shoes or a broomstick? Because beating with shoes means you have to have something solid to beat, and the mind is subtle. So the point is there that don't give any room, just don't give any room to the mind to indulge in its wicked propensities. Another saying of Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara Thakur. Dushtaman, oh wicked mind, tumi kisha Vaishnava. What kind of a Vaishnava are you, you rascal? So, that's one of his sayings. Just keep under control. Beat. Wandering of the mind toward anything but Krishna, just smash it out. Smash it out once, twice, 100 times, smash it out. This way, the mind can be kept under control. That's one method. Then, Srila Bhaktisthana Sahasrara Thakur used to say, there is no scarcity of anything within this world. The only scarcity is of Krishna consciousness. Now, there was a lot of poverty in India at that time. As there is also at the present time. politically or socially, historically analyzed, British policies had made India poor, especially Bengal, which was very rich. British had made it very poor, deliberately creating famines and very wicked demoniac policies. Actually, the British, they made all this propaganda that we're civilizing India. But actually, if we examine the history impartially, they, whatever they did, it was for their own benefit. Actually, it wasn't for their own benefit in spiritual terms. They picked up a lot of bad karma, but calculated in terms of material profit, the British, they developed their little country with by cheating and sucking the wealth from India. And there were a lot of scarcity and a lot of welfare activities. That became a hallmark of the, well, especially there were the Christian missionaries. First of all, the British came and looted the country and impoverished it, and then they sent in the missionaries to tell you that you need us, you need the Christian missionaries to help you. And then there became the Ramakrishna missionaries, who they also thought that we have to do service to man is service to God. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a very deep dislike of the Ramakrishna mission. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had also decried that. So there's this idea, there's so much scarcity in the world. And Vivekananda's idea, which is very prominent in the Bengali, in all of Indian consciousness, in Bengali consciousness, was that, well, we have to develop India, make India a strong country, so we can stand up in a community of nations. There's so much scarcity of food, and we need education, and so many things. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the only scarcity is one of Krishna consciousness. It says, it was quite a statement in a land where people are suffering from poverty and so much, so many physical difficulties. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the only scarcity is one of Krishna consciousness, in the sense that one thing is, we suffer in this world due to karmic reactions. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to say that. If people are starving, Prabhupada would say, well, why do you want to help them? That's ordained for them. He'd say that. Srila Prabhupada would say, just like in the hospital, the doctor orders that one patient should eat sumptuously, another patient starve him. Don't give food. He requires that. So Srila Prabhupada said that this starvation, that's ordained by God. Some karmic reaction is there. Another meaning is if the world is managed properly, then there won't be scarcity. Because people are utilizing the resources of the world out of greed, therefore there is scarcity. Just like, for instance, if there is, we see now in India the prices of food are, it's just unimaginable. Who could have imagined that dal would be, was it 180 rupees a kilo? It's just, people would have laughed a few years ago. They couldn't imagine even 20 rupees a kilo, even 1 rupee a kilo at one time. They couldn't have imagined how it could be 180 rupees a kilo. But there are reasons for that also. Mismanagement is one thing. Just like if we see here in South Tamil Nadu, there are a few rice fields at my back, but huge areas in this part of South Tamil. There's no farming. No farming. Not enough, they say, not enough water. Or that you can't get labor because the government pays people to do nothing. And then the women, they make some money by making biddies by hand. And why does anyone want to do farming? So it's mismanagement. So much land is lying vacant, not farmed. And even what farming is going on, we find in South India huge coffee plantations, chocolate is being grown, tobacco, tea, all useless. All useless. They're growing these things just for the pleasure of the tongue. Whereas food could be grown, or even so much land is given out for rice here. There, people have got a taste for eating rice. Previously, people used to eat ragi, one kind of millet, which requires much less water. But and there are so many things. It's so mismanaged. In Maharashtra, the huge areas. Maharashtra is famous for sugarcane cultivation, but it requires lots of water. And Maharashtra is famous, well, not the west part, but the Maratha inland, where the sugarcane cultivation is. It's a very dry area. And why are they growing sugarcane? It's just such ridiculous mismanagement. So if the king was Krishna conscious, then he would see to all these things. You see that the land is, the resources are managed properly so that everyone gets sufficient food. That's one of the first, maybe the first duty of a ruler is to see that first of all, everyone should be protected. There shouldn't be thieves or invaders or rapists. Everyone should be protected. And then everyone should have sufficient food and shelter. And everyone should work. It's not that. These are big topics of discussion. And actually, our own Srila Prabhupada, he brought these topics into discussion. In his first canto of Bhagavatam, we'll find a lot of discussion about how the state should be run by a Krishna-conscious ruler. So just in brief, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there's no scarcity in the world. The only scarcity is one of Krishna consciousness. So if the world is managed in a way, actually for the benefit of the people, understanding that people require food, clothing, shelter, security, these are basic needs, and over and above this, they need the opportunity to develop spiritually. Everyone should be guided. Not the modern educational system means just train how to work to get some money. But the education should be that, all right, you have to do something in this world. Everyone should work. Someone should be a doctor, someone should be a barber, someone should be a midwife, someone should be a dead body bearer, pall bearer. There are so many things. Everyone should do something. For many of the occupations, extensive education is not required, but everyone, man, woman, high caste, low caste, whatever, very intelligent, not very intelligent, whatever. Everyone should be educated to understand that we are living in this world under the overlordship of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, and we should act for His pleasure, including the rulers who rule over the world, not for self-aggrandizement, but as a duty. It's their service to rule the world in a way that Krishna will be pleased, in a way that people can have their necessities fulfilled and their spiritual necessity, for which The whole world is suffering. This is the real scarcity in the world today. Everyone is suffering from an empty heart or a disturbed heart because they don't have that natural loving propensity for Krishna is not awakened. And then it becomes very dried up and they feel very dissatisfied. So really this is the only scarcity. So we can say, well, there are food scarcities and there is water scarcity and this scarcity. Yeah, but if the scarcity of Krishna consciousness, if that is rectified, then everything else should rectify. Just one more I'll deal with today or discuss today. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He personally loved Chaitanya Charitamrita so much. And we may say, well, now it's translated, so no need. In one sense, no need, but the original language is very sweet. Bengali language is very sweet, very suitable for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to be expressed in, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are very sweet, because Krishna is very sweet, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanyas Tadhama Vrindavanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings is that the proper object of worship is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the son of the king of Vrindavan, namely Krishna, and his land of Vrindavan is also worshipable. So Vrindavan is a land of sweetness. Krishna is very sweet. So Bengali language is very sweet and very suitable for discussing Krishna consciousness, especially as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, then we can teach also the Bengali language, or people can learn to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and so many other beautiful songs. They're Bengali songs. They're all very sweet, expressing a mood of sweetness in love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. It's unlimited. All these topics unlimited, but I'll finish there for now. Hare Krishna. So as I again chant some verses that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would sometimes verse at the end of his talks. Parivadita jano yatha tatha va nanumukharo navayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madira mata madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama dante nidhaya chunakam padayo nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta vaham bravimi. Hey sadhava sakalam eva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanu ragam vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubi evacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna.